Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, to give glory and praise to you and to learn of you, Father. We ask that your word would have free course in us and that you would cause us to be humble servants of yours, that we would accept your word, that it would direct us and guide us, Father, because we seek your guidance. We want to be in your kingdom, Father, and we know that we have to overcome this world and Satan the devil to achieve that. And following in Yahshua's footsteps, who overcame this world, he overcame Satan the devil. So, Father, we know that we can overcome this world and Satan the devil as well, because we have an example. We have an example in your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. So help us, Father, to walk in your truth and the newness of life. And we thank you, Father, for the increase of the flock. We know, Father, that it's your will that we're seeking to do. And we ask, Father, that you would bless us and cause each one of us to grow in your grace and knowledge. And we know, Father, for us to become a greater people, we have to have more of your Holy Spirit. And that comes through hearing the word of Yahweh. And we know that your word is spirit and it is life. So, Father, as we gain more of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would continue to watch over and bless us. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we come before you asking all these favors and blessings, because you've told us in your word that anything that we ask in his name, that you would give it. So we're asking at this time, Father, that you would bless your people, that you would cause us to not only hear your word, but to hear it, Father, that we might do it, that it might be a part of us. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we all be seated. This message is entitled, Do Unto Others. Let's look at this in a positive light, as in doing good for others or blessing others as we would like to be blessed. Most of the time when we hear this about the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, we're looking at it from the wrong perspective. We're looking at it from a negative perspective. Okay? And the reason we want to change our perception and the perspective that we look at this is because if we want to be blessed, then we need to bless. We want to receive, then we need to give. See? Now, the other day, and we're staying in a hotel here for several days, we came down, like I said, Wednesday for the wake for my father. The funeral was Thursday. And we normally, when we leave the hotel, wherever we're staying, we leave a tip. And because a lot of us, my daughter works in the service industry. She's a server at like Hula Hands and some other place. And she does give good tips because of what she does. You understand? She lives by the tips, so she gives good tips because it comes back to her. And we were actually, now we hadn't checked out, but we were going out, but we wanted to have a change of the bed and have them clean the room. And we left the tip. And we were discussing the tip, me and my wife, and I feel normally I'm the more giving one, but I was a little less giving at this time, and my wife says, "Do you want to give a bigger tip?" And I thought about this, and I had to think about it because, you know, I'm normally pretty giving when it comes to that because, you know, I used to work in the service industry too, and you live by those tips. You want, you know, you think about it. Yeah, they get a certain amount per hour, especially in the hotel. They get more than they do waitressing, actually. But, you know, it was a friend of mine that used to work doing that, sort of work at a hotel, that clued me into you're supposed to leave a tip. I never knew that until she said, well, you know, the girls that are cleaning those rooms, they expect, you know, they're looking for those, you know, tips, you know, because that helps them. And when you think about what everything costs, and we went to the store while we were here, and trust me, a bag of chips was a lot more than what it is at home. And I can understand the cost of living being higher. So it made me think about, you know what, I need to rethink some things. I need to be willing to give more, because I know if I do it, on the other hand, Yahweh is going to bless me as well. See, because he blesses you in your giving. See? And that's why I'm not talking about, and remember, Yahshua says, when did you see me in need? Or, you know, when you did it to one of these, you did it to me. So when we think about that and we incorporate that into doing unto others, you can see a different perspective. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to start there. Leviticus chapter 19. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am holy." In other words, I want you to be like me. If I'm holy, I want you to be holy. "Every man of you shall fear his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Turn not to idols, nor make to yourselves molten Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim." Now, a lot of us, I know my mom, she worked in the school system, but I mean, I know she did other jobs even prior to that job, and I know she went with my Aunt Noli, and they used to go and clean houses and things like that, and they received tips, you know, and they would come back. And I think this is what I really, they used to work for, I guess one of the guys who was on television, Channel 13, which is Cher. They would go out and do a thing right before one of the holy days. And this is really coming around because now you got a lot of Jewish people live here in Baltimore. And I learned about the feast days and the holy days prior to coming into the faith, because that was going on, okay? And you don't know how things affect you in a particular time until you come into the knowledge. And what happens is Yahweh gives us more knowledge as we grow in his grace. And, you know, these women worked hard, they did their thing, but they talked about how generous tips they received. And I didn't say they didn't do the job. They did what they went to do. But it was just something that it brings it back to what we're doing, keeping the feast days, learning more of Yahweh, okay? So when we think about what Yahweh says, now this is the mighty one of Israel, and a lot of these people have learned how to treat other people based on how they're being treated. In verse, drop down to verse 9 in Leviticus 19, it says, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, neither shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard, neither shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard, you shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am Yahweh, your Elohim." Yahweh is just so wonderful in what he does and how he does it, okay? Because he anticipates what he knows. He knows him from the beginning, but he knows what we have need of long before he asks. Okay? So when you think about how Almighty Yahweh has blessed each and every one of us, and a lot of us, like I said, have been in situations where we're able to bless someone, and when we do it, it comes right back to us. And I mentioned this recently about my sister-in-law, you know, giving a gift to my parents, you know. And I think it was very shortly after that she got a check in the mail for a lot more than she gave. Yahweh blessed her out of the blue because she received something that she hadn't anticipated. And I think she had paid overpaid insurance or something like that, but that money came back to her. Yahweh blessed her with something that she didn't anticipate. Now, here, when it talks about reaping the harvest of your field, a lot of us may not, I mean, our field is totally different than the agrarian society of the ancient Israel. But if you turn over to the book of Ruth, keep your finger in Leviticus 19, okay? If you turn over to Ruth, and chapter 2, verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, Do you not hear, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither pass from here, but remain here close by my maidens. Let your eyes be on the field that they reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take knowledge of me since I'm a foreigner, a sojourner? You understand? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully showed me all that you have done to your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how that you have left your father and mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people that you did not know before this time. Yahweh shall repay your work, and a full reward will be given you of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, kind sir, for you have comforted me. And because you have spoken kindly to your handmaid, though I am not as one of your handmaids. Okay? Now, this, Boaz was being a righteous individual because the scripture says in Leviticus 19, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. See? You're supposed to leave that the gleaning, it says, neither shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. That which falls, you know, when it's being reaped, the land, there's increase that falls. Just like fruit, when you take the fruit from the tree, there's fruit that falls to the ground. You're not supposed to pick it up, you know, or put it in your basket. You're supposed to leave it, see? Neither shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. Yahweh provides for each and every one of us. I was talking to one of the sisters about this, and we were talking about, you know, the third-year tithe and the six-year tithe, and the sojourner gets a piece of that as well, the third year and the sixth year, as well as the Levite and the fatherless and the widow. See? Yahweh has a system that is perfect, that has been set up to take care of his people. Now, if we do unto others the proper way, as Boaz was doing, see, he was keeping the laws for everyday living in Leviticus chapter 19. See? And what he told her I mean, he was good to her. I mean, obviously he had interest. He found out that she was a near kin. I mean, her husband was a near kinsman, but there was someone nearer than him. Okay? Now, in the end of this chapter, verse 17, in Ruth chapter 2, it says, "So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had left after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where have you gleaned today? And where have you worked? Blessed be he that took knowledge of you.' And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.' And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed is he of Yahweh, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'The man is near kin to us, one of our near kinsmen.' And Ruth the Moabite said, 'Yes,' even said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have ended all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with her maiden, and that they do not meet you in any other field.' So she kept close by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law." Now, when we think about the gleaning, when we think about the wheat harvest and the barley harvest, you have to understand, you have that first harvest, and you have the second. And we have to keep in mind that Yahweh is the one that's in control of these harvests. See? Yahshua represents the one. And if we're faithful, we'll represent the other. Because the fields are like a harvest right now. And what we want to understand is that he's saying, "You shall keep close by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Yahweh is preparing for that harvest. And he wants to bless his people. And each one of us has to be faithful if we want to prosper in that harvest. Because Yahweh is truly ready to reap earth. Okay? Now, continuing verse 11 of Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19:11, it says, "You shall not steal, neither shall you deal falsely, nor lie one to another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely." I was told when I was a young man, you can't swear by the name of the Almighty. You know, I didn't know it at that time, but, you know. But see, Yahweh is saying, "You shall not swear by my name falsely and profane the name of your Elohim. I am Yahweh." We're not supposed to profane his name. Everything that we do, it has to be on a righteous end, on a positive end. Because if we're doing it on a negative end, we're bringing a reproach upon Yahweh's name. If we're called by Yahweh's name and we're doing things that are negative or evil, dealing falsely, lying, we're bringing something negative on Yahweh. We don't need to do that. We don't want to be in that position. Verse 13, "You shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse to death, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. But you shall fear your Elohim. I am Yahweh." Yahweh sees all of that. He sees all. He knows what's in your heart. Even before you do it, he knows what's there. That's why he gives us a way of escape. if that sin is present there, he gives you a way of escape so that you don't have to sin against it. Verse 15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the face of the poor, nor honor the face of the mighty. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. Neither shall you stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. He signs it on Yahweh. It has his stamp upon it. Yahweh is telling you that he approves this. He put his name on it. He approves this message. Okay? You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Out of Yahweh. There. Name is there. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Do unto others, brethren, is the title of this message. Do unto others. In verse 7 it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be open. For what man is there of you who, if his son shall ask of him a loaf, will give him a stone? We care for our children. If we have the wherewithal to give them the things that they have need of, we provide it. And Yahweh does the same for us. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you've been being evil, see, Yahweh knows where we are. He knows what's in our hearts already. He's saying, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? All things, therefore, whatever that men should do to you, even so do you also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And see, a lot of people want to say, do unto others before they get a chance to do it to you. Okay? But when you put that positive spin on it and you do it right, you go back to verse 7 where it says, ask, and it shall be given you. But you got to ask. You got to open your mouth and ask. Okay? It says, seek. We went through that this morning, looking for a place to baptize. You know? We ask. Then we had to seek. We went out and did some seeking. And then it says, knock. We did. And it was open. It was open to us. But think about, like I said, not just the maid service here at the hotel and leaving a tip. You're blessing that person, right? You don't know what shoes they're walking in, what problems they have in their life. You know, you just know they're doing their job, okay? But that tip that you leave them might have an impact on their life. It might change some things that they weren't able to do. And you're saying, well, you know, it's only a couple dollars or whatever. But you never know how Yahweh is going to use you to bless someone else. Because that just might be the door opener. Then that person might seek you out. Thank you for that. And then, you know, get a witness. They might learn of Yahweh, if that's what Yahweh is seeking for them in their life. Everything you do, does it benefit someone else more than it benefits you? Most people, it's not. They're trying to benefit themselves first and more than they benefit anybody else. But see, this is the difference when we do unto others on that positive tip. Okay? If you do something that benefits someone more than it benefits you, you're going to receive a greater blessing. You understand? And most people don't see it that way because they haven't been trained that way. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 23. John 14:23. Yahshua answered and said to him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you while yet remaining with you, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name." It's not coming in the name of J-E-S-U-S. It's coming in the name of Yahshua. It's not coming in the name of the L-O-R-D. It's coming in the name of Yahshua. It's not coming in the name of G-O-D. It's coming in the name of Yahshua. "It shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. You heard how I said to you, I go away and I come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." And when he told them that he was leaving, you know, they were sad. You understand? Which is understandable, but they didn't understand what he was trying to get them to see. That he needed to go to the Father so that they could receive and be sent the Holy Spirit. He said, "You heard how I said to you, I go away and I come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I." Now, I have a lot of people telling me, "Oh, the Father and the Son are the same." You understand? What does the Word say? It says the Father is greater than I. Yahshua is subject to Yahweh. You understand? But that's another false doctrine that's being taught out there in the world. That they're the same. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all the same. That's not what the Word says. You understand? He's showing us that the Father is greater than he is. When he has brought everything into subjection, as it says in Philippians, then he's going to lay it at the feet of the Father. You understand? Because he's in subjection to the Father. "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no more speak much with you, for the prince of the world comes. And he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from this place." John chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 1. John 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be caused to stumble. That they shall put you out of synagogues, out of the synagogue. Yes, the hour comes that whoever kills you shall think that he offers service to Elohim, that he's doing something good for Yahweh. And these things will they do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I spoken to you, that when their hour has come, you may remember them, how that I told you, and these things I said not to you from the beginning, because I was with you, but now I go to him that sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send it to you. And it, when it has come, will convict the world of sin, in respect of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father, and you behold me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Yahshua knew exactly where they were, that they couldn't handle what he had to give them. He said, you can't bear it now. And sometimes this happens in the faith, and we'll get some of the brethren in the spirit, you know. Not to say everybody's going to be on milk long term, because the heavier things you just can't handle. But when it comes, when it's time, and it will be time, that Yahshua is going to give you the meatier thing, the heavier thing, because he's going to need you to be able to carry a heavier load. Okay? You have to be strengthened to do it. So, as to not cause you to fall away, he brings up the new babies from the milk, okay? And that's why we have to do milk and meat. But guess what? The stronger you become, the more you can take. And the more you understand, and the more you'll be able to do, and the more you give yourself to Yahweh, the greater and the stronger you become in the Savior. In verse 13 it says, however, when it, not he, as the Christians are telling you, it's a person, the Holy Spirit is the power of Yahweh. Okay? When it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it shall guide you into all the truth. For it shall not speak from itself, but whatever things it shall hear, these it shall speak. And it shall declare to you the things that are to come. And this is what people want to know. They want to know what's coming. But Yahshua is telling us, just be faithful. You know, be patient. Be still. Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. When they came out of Egypt and they were down at the Red Sea, they saw the Egyptians coming from behind and Pharaoh saying, oh, we got them boxed in. You know, they have nowhere to go. What happened? Yahweh made a way. He made a way. Don't you think he'll make a way for you, brethren? Each and every one of us. You're going to come upon these obstacles in your life. And Yahweh is the only one that's going to be able to open it, to make a way. See, Moses wasn't the only one that went across on dry land. Once they got over to the other side and they had to go from Jericho over and want to go up to the Holy Land, they had to go across some water. And what happened? They went across on dry land as well. Yahweh can make a way. And this is why when you understand and you do unto others the proper way and the positive way, Yahweh gives it back to you. He's going to bless you with all those things that you have need of. That's why we don't need to worry about the little thing. And I know he talked about it in Matthew chapter 6 about the Gentiles. They're worried about their clothes. They're worried about their food. They're worried about their houses. You know, their dwelling. But Joshua, I mean, Almighty Yahweh says, you know, the sparrows, they don't work. Yet I provide for them. And look at the lilies of the field. They're beautiful. Even Solomon is not arrayed as one of these. So when we think about these things and how we are to interact and to do for one another and to do for our neighbors and to do for those who are struggling out there, we have something they don't have. And that's the knowledge of Yahweh. Remember, there's a famine in the last days of the knowledge of Yahweh. This is what they need. It's not about the things, the carnal things. And that's what Paul was saying. If I'm giving you the spiritual things, it's okay for you to give us the carnal things that we need, you know? So Yahweh wants us to do unto others in a positive way so that we can get them on board, get them to the kingdom as well. See? That's our job, to make sure they hear the word of Yahweh in these last days so they can glorify Yahweh and praise his holy name. In verse 14, it says, "It shall glorify me, for it shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. All things, whatever the Father has, are mine. Therefore, said I, that he takes of mine and shall declare it unto you. A little while, and you shall behold me no more. And again a little while, and you shall see me." Some of his disciples therefore said one to another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you shall behold me not. And again a little while, you shall see me. And because I go to the Father," they said, "therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We know not what he says." Joshua perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said to them, "Do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said, a little while, and you behold me not? And again a little while, and you shall see me. Truly, truly, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And I'm telling you, we're going to receive that joy because we know the Father and we know his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. The world doesn't know Yahshua and they don't know Yahweh. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But she's in pain. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no one takes away from you. And in that day, you shall ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Is the name of Yahshua important, brethren? Absolutely. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. Do unto others, brethren, in a positive way, and you're going to receive a blessing. This is what Yahweh is telling us through Yahshua the Messiah. things have I spoken to you in dark sayings. The hour comes when I shall no more speak to you in dark sayings, but shall tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came out from the Father and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples say, lo, now speak you plainly and speak no dark saying. Now we know that you know all things and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that you came forth from Yahweh. Yahshua answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes. Yes, has come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, Yahshua has overcome the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. 1 John 2, verse 12 to 17. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, little children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of Yahweh remains in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Love not the world, if any man, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it. But he that does the will of Yahweh remains forever. He's going to inherit eternal life. He remains forever. Turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 33. And Job 32, Elihu, the son of Barakel, young man, the Buzite of the family of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than Elohim. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were older than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was kindled. Okay? So that's who's speaking in 33. However, in verse 1, Job, I pray you, hear my speech and listen to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth. My tongue has spoken in my mouth. My words shall utter the uprightness of my heart, and that which my lips know, they shall speak sincerely. The spirit of El has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Stand forth. Behold, I am toward El, even as you are. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make you afraid. Neither shall my pressure be heavy upon you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, And I have heard the voice of your word saying, I am clean without sin, without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he finds occasion against me. He counts me for an enemy. He puts my feet in the dock. He marks all my paths. Behold, I will answer you in this. You are not just. For Eloah is greater than man. And this is what we have to remember all the time, brethren. We can't condemn Yahweh. Whatever is going on in our life, it may be going in the wrong direction. Okay? You might lose a family member. You might lose a job. You might lose a limb. You understand that we got to praise the name of Yahweh because he is the purpose for our being. We give glory and praise to him. And if we do unto others, if we do it to Yahweh in a positive manner, and we think about all of the blessings and all of the things that he has done for us. Someone said to, I think it was my brother, said to my wife and I, oh, he's done good. You know, I mean, he's done good. You know, and he was just basically talking about our family. You know, me, her, and we got these kids and grandkids. And no, Yahweh has done good. There's nothing that we have done. You understand what I'm saying? Yahweh has blessed us. We're just trying to do and give back those blessings. And we're doing the will of Yahweh, trying to do his work. You know, when you think about your life and how he's the reason for your being, then you can start to see things work in the proper perspective, the way they're supposed to go. And this is what Elihu, the young man, was trying to get Job to see. Okay? Because in the beginning of verse 32, it says, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. And that happens too often. Even though we knew Job was a righteous man, Yahweh says that in the beginning of the book. And in Job 1, he says, there is a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared Elohim and turned away from evil. Okay? And then when Satan wanted to, you know, touch Job, I mean, you know, Yahweh says, have you considered my servant Job? He said he was an upright man. You understand? So Yahweh recognized him as being upright. But see, as man can be perfect only to a certain extent through the blood of Joshua, not anything that we can do on our own. And this is where we have to come to that knowledge that when we come to do it unto others, if we do it in the right way, Yahweh gives that blessing back to us. We have to continually seek to receive that blessing. Now it says in verse 13, why did you quarrel against him? For that he gives not account of any of his matters. For El speaks once, yes, twice. So man regards it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumberings upon the dead, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. He gives the instruction that he may withdraw man from his purpose. He keeps back his soul from the pit, from the grave, and his life from perishing by the sword. He has chastened also with pain upon his bed and with continual strife in his bones, so that his life hates bread and his soul dainty food. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit and his life to the destroyers. If there be with him an angel, an interpreter, one among the thousands to show to man what is right for him. And Elohim is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. He found an atonement. See? Verse 26. He prays to Eloah, and he is favorable to him, so that he sees his face with joy, and he restores to man his righteousness. He sings before men and says, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. He has redeemed my soul from going into the grave, into the pit, and my life shall behold the light. Lo, all these things does El work, twice or three times with the man, to bring back his soul from the grave, from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, and listen to me. Hold your peace, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen you to me. Hold your peace, and I will teach you wisdom. This is coming from a younger man. See, out of the mouth of babes, the word of Yahweh can come to correct even the ancient, the old. And Job needed some correction at that time. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 1. They say, if a man puts away his wife, and she goes from him and become another man's wife, another man, will he return to her again? Will not that the land be greatly polluted? And you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, says Yahweh. Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see where you have not been lain with. By the ways have you sat for them, as an Arabian in the wilderness, and you have polluted the land with your whoredoms and with your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. Yet you had a harlot's forehead. You refused to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me? My father, you are the guide of my youth. Will he retain his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and have done evil things and have had your way. Moreover, Yahweh said to me in the days of Josiah, the king, have you seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and every green tree and there played the harlot. Today it's every corner. You got a little storefront church. On every high hill, you got another church up there. See? And I said, after she had done all these things, she will return to me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw. And when, for this very cause, that backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, a get. Yet treacherous Judah, her sister, feared not, but she also went and played the harlot. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And it came to pass through lightness, the lightness of her whoredom, that the land was polluted. And she committed adultery with stones and stocks. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not returned to me with her whole heart. But feignly, says Yahweh, she pretended to be that to Yahweh. And Yahweh said to me, backsliding Israel has showed herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, you backsliding Israel, says Yahweh. I will not look in anger upon you, for I am merciful. says Yahweh, I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge your sin, your iniquity, that you have transgressed against Yahweh, your Elohim, and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says Yahweh. Now, when you understand what Israel has done, they've gone over. They've lost the keeping of the Sabbath. They've become what we would call Christian today. You understand what I'm saying? They are worshiping these idols. And Yahweh is telling them, come back. Come back to the truth. Come back to the mighty one of Israel. Verse 14, it says, return, O backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am your husband to you. And I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. They're not like the hired servant. They're going to teach you the word of Yahweh. And it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says Yahweh, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of Yahweh. Neither shall it come to mind. Neither shall they remember it. Neither shall they miss it. Neither shall it be made anymore. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh. That's where David's throne was, remember? Jerusalem. And all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of Yahweh. And I'm telling you, nowhere and no time has all the nations been gathered in the name of Yahweh. But it's going to happen. And it's going to happen soon. And this is why the Eliyahu message has to go forth with power and authority. And all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of Yahweh, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave for an inheritance to your fathers. So these two houses are going to come back together to worship Yahweh and to be his people. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? They love their kids. They love their family. He says, you therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So if we're going to be like Job and be perfect and upright, we have to come to that knowledge, that level of knowledge, that understand that if we do unto others in a positive way, that Yahweh is going to bless us. And that blessing means that they will come to the knowledge of Yahweh and repent. And that's what we want. We want the whole world to repent. We want everyone to come to that knowledge. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, starting in verse 1. In this manner says Yahweh, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement with which I have put her away? For which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities were you sold, and for your transgression was your mother put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot be redeemed? Or have I no power to deliver? Yahweh's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Yahweh can do all things. He's the one that can bring us through. Like I said, on dry land, if we have to go through the middle of the sea, he did it for Israel. He has proven himself. We can't doubt Yahweh. His promises are sure. He tells us that he will bless us if we keep the covenant. That's why I'm telling you, if we do unto others in a positive way, we're going to receive that blessing. We have to change our attitude and not look out for ourselves first, because this is what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to look out for others. Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make rivers the wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The sovereign Yahweh has given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I may know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He awakens morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as they that are taught. The sovereign Yahweh has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backwards. I gave my back to strikers, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. And they did. They spit in Yahshua's face. You think about it. They didn't realize who they had before them. For the sovereign Yahweh will help me. Therefore have I not been confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the sovereign Yahweh will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Behold, they all wear out as a garment. They shall all wear out as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears Yahweh, that obeys the voice of his servant? He that walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of Yahweh and rely on his Elohim. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that gird yourself about with firebrands, walk in the flame of your fire and among the brands that you have kindled. This shall you have of my hand, and you shall lie down in sorrow. Almighty Yahweh is going to judge this world. He's going to judge this world in the very, very near future. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Remember, we're talking about doing unto others today, brethren. Verse 1, it says, brethren, even if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Messiah. But a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. He deceives himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glory in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor. Each man shall bear his own burden. We don't need the praise of men. We want the praise of Yahweh. We want to come through that fire that we have to go through. In verse 6 it says, but let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches all good things. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But he that sows to his own flesh shall reap of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And that's what we're seeking, brethren. That's why we want to do unto others in a positive manner. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So then, if we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially them that are of the household of faith. Turn to Jacob chapter 5. Jacob chapter 5, verse 7. Jacob 5:7, or James, for those that were the King James Version. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Master. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. That's what Yahshua is waiting for, the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Master is at hand. Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that you be not judged. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Take, brethren, for example, the suffering of the patience, the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of Yahweh, how that Yahweh is full of pity and merciful. We, brethren, have to trust in Yahweh in everything we do. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is carved upon the tablets of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. While their children remember their altars and their asherim by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field. The mountain of Yahweh is the government of Yahweh, brethren. I will give you substance and all your treasures for a plunder, and your high places because of sin, throughout all your borders, and you, even you, of yourself, shall discontinue from your heritage that I gave you. And I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you know not, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. And this letter says, Yahweh curses the man who trusts in man, and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from Yahweh. For he shall be like the tamarisk in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in Yahweh, whose trust Yahweh is. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, that spreads out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when he comes, but its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That year of drought is coming soon, brethren. And for a lot of people, it's here, because there's a drought for hearing the word of Yahweh. And a lot of people, they can't handle it. They can't hear it. It says here, verse 10, well, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is very corrupt. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the mind, I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. As the partridge that sits on eggs which he has not laid, is he that gets riches and not by right. In the middle of his days they shall leave him, and at the end he shall be a fool. Proverbs chapter 25. Verses 21 to 22. Remember, this message is entitled, Do Unto Others. Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and Yahweh will reward you. That's what we want. We want Yahweh to reward us, brethren, because we want to do that which is right and positive to other people. And we want to do unto others truly the way we want them to do unto us. And for our closing passage, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. It's Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. For I say, through the grace that was given me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in the Messiah, and severally members one of another, and having different gifts according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teaches to his teaching, or he that exhorts to his exhorting. He that gives, let him do it with liberality. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another. In honor, preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, given the hospitality, brethren. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceit. Render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of Elohim, for it is written, Vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says Yahweh. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do unto others, brethren, the way that you would have them do unto you. Do it in a positive way. Be very loving and giving as you seek to share with others Because Almighty Yahweh is judging you the way you judge. Keep that in mind. And be willing to give that you would be willing to receive. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve Him and give glory to His holy name. I'll ask Brother Davis again to close with a word of prayer at this time.
Let's stand. Almighty Yahweh, we find ourselves again at the receiving end of your chastisement and your judgment, which is pure and which is good for our lives. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would be with us this day and allow us to not only be hearers of this word, but to be doers as well, Almighty Yahweh. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would put the conviction of the Holy Spirit in us so we can adhere to the tithing system that you created. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would just allow each and every one of us to want to give to you so you can give to us, and not just for the reason of giving unto you to receive from you, but out of obedience. Allow us to give in obedience unto thee, Almighty Yahweh. Allow we your children to deal in your name by a spirit of truth in all ways and all things, and bless us to be with those in need around us. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would stir up the lost heart of rightly dividing the word of truth within us. Because many of we, your children, we can twist many scriptures, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you would allow that iniquity to be stripping away from us this day so that we can walk according to your election and purpose. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow we, your children, to remain in an even place to return to you, Almighty Yahweh. Even in a place where those who need to be strengthened and comforted, allow them to be able to be strengthened and comforted, Almighty Yahweh, in that even place within you. Allow us to come to you, Almighty Yahweh, for the knowledge that is needed for our lives in all ways and all things. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would give us the tongue of the learned so that we know how to be able to speak to those around us in all ways and all things. And give us that ear to learn so we can hear in all ways and all things according to your word, your will, your way. Allow we, your children, the steadfastness to be able to receive the early and latter rain, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you would be our peace and our strength as we trust in you, Almighty Yahweh. Continue to allow us to be obedient to give to our enemies what they need so we can receive a reward from you so that we don't have to take things into our hands. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would seal this word in us and allow us to bring forth fruit unto thy glory. We ask these and all of our blessings in your son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Amen.